Thank you, Brother Chairman, and Brother David, for your wonderful prayer. We need it. I think we can be ready to have a motion to have a siesta for an hour, can't we? You know, we had such a good, wonderful meal. Why not? We'll come back for Vesper service. It'll be so good. Sister Carmelita and I are happy to be with you at this convention. We have love from our class that we meet with. And Sister Carmelita also brought us the love from our children. We have special love from Brother Cornelius Wedler from Chilliwack, British Columbia. As well as David and Bernice, who were here a year ago at your convention. They all extend their Christian love and greetings to you. And I was hoping that Sarah would bring us the love from the Vancouver class. You're going to, all right. Love from the brethren from Vancouver, British Columbia, not Vancouver, Washington. Right, Sarah? Right, okay. We spent a week just before we came here to northern part of Alberta. And we visited some of the classes there. And the brethren there wanted to extend their love. They knew we were coming here to this convention. Sincere Christian love to you. As also as brethren in Saskatchewan. They wanted to be remembered to you as well. We had the privilege of visiting brethren in Poland and Ukraine and Romania and Hungary. And we have special loving greetings from a brethren from Poland. We spent 2 full weeks there. We were in northeastern Poland all the way to Krakow. And we visited pretty close to 1,500 brethren. We had a one-day convention there. It was 650 at the one-day convention in Helm. And all the brethren expressed their Christian love and greetings to you. As well as brethren in Ukraine. We traveled from the city of Lviv all the way to the southern part, not too far from the Romanian border. And we covered a large area and the various classes there. As well as brethren from the northern part of Romania down to southeastern and southwestern part of Cluj. Not Cluj, but outside the area of Cluj. We visited the isolated brethren there as well. They all send their sincere Christian loving greetings to you, as well as the Hungarian brethren we met with also. I hope that the lesson that I have chosen will in some way stimulate your hearts, as it has mine. We studied this lesson in our class, and we're still continuing to study it. And we hope that in some way it'll be a blessing to you as it has been to me. As you recall in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul addresses the brethren as saints. And then you go to Philippians 1:1, he uses the same word again, saint. Colossians 1:2, he addresses them as saints. And so the question arises, who are these saints? Where do they come from? What is their work now? What will their work be in the future? Well, here we are in 1998. Did you ever dream you would see 1998? But we're here. And we're still here. I remember a discourse one time was given in 1972. We're still here. And we're still here. But we want to look on ourselves for 1998. What can you and I do that in some way our Heavenly Father would be pleased with us? The things that we could do that would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 4, the 12th chapter, for instance. Now, the Diaglot has a good rendering of this. You can read it from the Diaglot or the New American Standard. It's just as good. King James uses the word for the edification. The Diaglot uses qualification. The New American Standard uses equipping something. And so the Diaglot says, for the qualification of the holy ones. Now, here's the thing. The Diaglot uses the word holy ones. He refers to the saints as being holy ones. For the work of service of the building up of the body of the anointed one. What are we going to do with that scripture? how are we going to apply this to our lives in 1998? The question arose, who are these saints? Who are these holy ones? Paul tells us in Romans 12:1 that these are the ones who present their bodies a living sacrifice, right? Yes. Verse 2, he says, they have renewed their minds through understanding of God's love of righteousness. We say, yes, God's wonderful plan for the human race. And we heard this expressed over the platform last night and tonight and this day. And something that I have mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me. The main theme of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is what? Christ, the Messiah, the resurrection, God's kingdom. Isn't that what it is? Let me ask you another question. To those who did not come into truth through their families, but those who came to the truth to some other nominal Christian or whatever it was you were in the world. In other words, your parents never had the truth, or your brother or your sister, whoever it is. What is the first thing that intrigued your heart, your mind? What touched it? What did you like about the truth? There was no hellfire. There was a resurrection for the dead, wasn't it? There was a salvation for all. Isn't that what touched your heart? And so we want to present the same message to the world. Christ, the Messiah, His kingdom, that will bless all the families of the earth. That was expressed today, that scripture was brought out. And that's what we want to tell the world, don't we? Because that's what touched your heart when you first heard the truth. When we traveled in Europe, we found a little different there than it is in America. In America, there are some people, some very small percentage, that believe that, yes, there's a possibility there is a resurrection from the dead. Very small number. In Europe, nobody believes in a resurrection from the dead. Nobody of the nominal system. Nobody. So you can see how precious the truth is to you and to me. In John the 17th chapter, verses 21 to 23, Brother Ken Rossum brought out about the unity. Here's something that's interesting. I'll read verse 21 for you. That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. In the proper translation, the word believe, it should read continually believe, not just believe, continually believe. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and thou and me, that they may be perfected into a unit, as how it should read. Perfected into a unit. That the world may know, that the world may continually know that thou hast given me and didst love them even as thou didst love me. Fine. All right. Where do they come from? They come from every nation, from every kindred and denomination. Right? Yes. Our Heavenly Father has called them. We are not called to righteousness. We're not called to consecration. But we're called to sonship with God. What should be their work now? What should be your work for 1998 and mine? Equipping, qualification, becoming fully fitted. When you go hiking, or you go on a trip someplace, or when you go mountain climbing, Lord forbid if you did, because I'm no good for that. But let's presume you're going to go mountain climbing. You must have proper gear, right? You must have proper schooling. You must have proper supplies to take along with you if you're going to go mountain climbing. One should be able to instruct and teach others as well when you go mountain climbing. Maybe there's something your individual is doing that you want to assist and instruct him to help him along that he does not receive any injury. And so what are you doing? You are preparing the entire body for the doing of the will of the head. We are making ourselves ready And as Hebrews 6:1 says, we go on to perfection. We should progress towards maturity. That's what we want to do for 1998, don't we? Any service that we can render to the body of Christ is a blessed service. I think one of the greatest privileges that you and I have is recorded to us in Matthew 24:14, and that is, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world, and this whole inhabit of the earth for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come, the end of this gospel age. These saints are engaged in this work, and you and I have that privilege of doing it, and we want to continue doing it. We know from history in the past of what happened after 1916 when Brother Russell died. The sheep were scattered, weren't they? They cried bitterly. The Lord did not forget them. We know that in 1918 there were a group that started which were very helpful in assisting these brethren. And then we find that through the efforts of the Brooklyn class, the Radio Echoes began in 1928. Brother Woodward was a servant, and there were other servants brought that these saints back together, as recorded to us in Ephesians 4:4, as one body, as one spirit. Why? To preserve the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And that's what we want to do, don't we? How many times have you studied Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25? Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. We want to do that for 1998, don't we? We want to encourage one another. All the more as you see the day drawing near. What day drawing near? Your day, my day, is drawing near every day. How many believe that you would see 1998? And here we are. Someone quoted that scripture today in Jude 3. Let us earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. These saints, you and I, should be perfected. We should be equipped through suffering now in this present age for the purpose of testing, proving, selecting the bride class. This increase, this growth, must not stop until the entire body has been schooled for the work of the service. Our perfection will be demonstrated by our loyalty, brethren, of our heart and our submission to the divine will. Today, every member is to be nursed and exercised, that's true, in order for the body to be qualified. Each step leads to a higher vantage ground for further attainment, both in knowledge and as blessed fruits of established character. These saints, these holy ones, are the body of the anointed. They are the church. They are the truly consecrated. They are God's witness to the world. Isn't that true? These saints are earnest, they're sincere, they show tolerance, they are true disciples. And this is what we liked about going to Europe. The brethren in Poland, the brethren in Ukraine, they show tolerance to one another. They have different beliefs, yes, that's true. But they get together at conventions all the time. Some of the thoughts that they have that the harvest hasn't begun. How would you like that? How would you like to meet their class that believes that? But they love the brethren. They love the truth. They follow Brother Russell in his writings that dragnet is not complete yet. In other words, there's got to be more denominations before the harvest can begin, because that's what Brother Russell said. And so they go by that. Are you going to reject them and say they're not our brethren? No, you can't do that. They're all our brethren. Brethren from way back who separated in 1918, the Herald and so on, all the way down the line. They're our brethren. You can't separate them. The Lord knows who they are, and we'll talk about them later. And so, brethren, we have to learn obedience. And the reason we have to learn this, obedience and tolerance, in order for us to become teachers and judges and kings and as priests with God, governing the world of mankind to uplift humanity. This small voice is calling the saints to a separation from the world, to fellowship with God, to joint heirship with Jesus and the kingdom soon to come. You and I are in this training program. This is for us as saints. And the Apostle Paul urges us in Hebrews 12, verses 13 to 15, and I'll quote some of the scripture to you. Paul says, make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And then what does he say? He says, pursue peace with all men, and a sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Philippians, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says this, let us therefore, as many as are mature, have this attitude, and if anything you have different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Now, I'm quoting a scripture from New American Standard, so you may hear a little different words. But it is more closer to the original manuscript than your King James is. And verse 16 says, however, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have been attained. And in Philippians, the second chapter, and verses 3, 4, and 5, also from the New American Standard, says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. We studied this in class, and we said it time over and over again. If we all exercise that, there will never be any divisions in no classes. Esteem others higher than yourself. No problem. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And then verse 5 says, let this, King James says, let this mind, but the right thought is, have this attitude among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who keeps the church books? Who's the accountant? Our Lord. Our Lord himself keeps the church books. He keeps the records of our names and individual accounts of each of you, each member. We have nothing to do with bookkeeping. He enrolls all the truly consecrated believers, and no power on earth can pluck them out from his hand or blot their names from the records in heaven. Remember what Jesus said in John 10, 28 and 29? And I give eternal life to them that they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And in Romans 8, verses 35 to 39, we'll skip that, but you can read it. And Revelation 3, 5. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Brother Fanksley read at the testimony of scripture from Malachi is another one. But you know, the same question still arises. How do we know the saints are the true church? We know them by their profession of faith, don't we? Their profession of faith in Christ and by the Spirit of Christ manifested in them. It is his truth. It is his spirit, and his presence manifests among them. And that impels us to assemble together, and this is what unites our hearts in the bonds of Christian love and fellowship. How often we sing that hymn, number 23. That inspires us. We have the same hope. We have that same joy which leads to cooperate together in the work of the Lord. It's one thing that what our Lord loves is cooperation. Our Lord hates competition. You know that from His commandments, right? There's only one God. He does not want competition. He loves cooperation. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 11 to 16, and as you read that, and compare it with 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 20, in these two lessons, I believe that the Apostle Paul illustrates the relationship in these saints, in these holy ones, to each other and to the Lord by using the parts of a human body. And he says here how everyone is to be nourished, how each should seek to recognize the Lord's appointments in their own case as well as that of others. In Ephesians 4:11, we also see that these assemblies were to be training schools for these saints. Why? To be better equipped for the service, better equipped for the ministry of the Lord. Not only the glorious service of the future, brethren, no, but also the essential service of the church at this present age in which the bride is to make herself ready for the future service. Just as it was edifying of the body of Christ for the knitting of all together in the unity of the faith and of the Spirit and in love and devotion to God, as the Scripture says, as one body, that we might advance in development of Christian character as well as grace and knowledge towards the stature of the fullness of Christ expressed to us in Ephesians 4:12. But you know our Lord has designed us such that the whole living church, however widely scattered over the world, as we travel to Europe, as brethren travel to Australia, brethren travel to India, Nigeria, and the other parts of the world, these brethren, as you talk to them, they are knit together as one, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit. And that encouraged us very much. Why? It was the way of the apostles' days. And it should be now. You know, in the apostles' day, they were prompt to send Christian greetings and benedictions to those in other places. We find this recorded in Acts, in Corinthians, and Philippians, and Colossians, and also in Peter's writing, and Titus, and John's third letter. And you know, they were all subject to the same regulations that were instituted by the apostles, having the one Lord, having the one faith, the one baptism. Ephesians 4, verses 3 to 13. These earnest endeavor was to keep the unity of the faith. How? In the bonds of peace. And to avoid any division in the body of Christ, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, 25. You and I would like to do that for 1998, wouldn't we? But you know something? The Lord would be so happy. Here's this one flame burning. It is also noticeable, too, that the lessons that we learn, what a beautiful unity of spirit and faith, and what steady cooperation there was among the apostles and the elders of the early church. And that is, they were all zealously endeavoring to preach the same things, the sound doctrine of truth, which they were fully persuaded. What did Paul talk about? The kingdom, the resurrection, the Messiah. We find that in the apostles' day, there was no one coming up with some brand new patented theories of his own. Apollos was not endeavoring to discount the teachings of Paul, no, nor were the elders of the various little companies endeavoring to lead the sheep under their care into bypaths of speculation and vain philosophies. No, it was not so. They were faithful to one another as they were also to the Lord. Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. We're glad to say that to a large extent, this spirit is found in Europe. And we're happy for these brethren. And we trust it more so that it may prevail in the United States and Canada for 1998. Till we all, as the Scripture says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the stature of the fullness of Christ as one body under one head, Christ Jesus, harmoniously cooperating together in doing of His will under the direction of His Word, being knit together in love and full of zeal and Lord's service to the great harvest work which we have the privilege of doing. And we want to do that in 1998. The chief mission of these saints is towards herself, Revelation 1:6. And this is what it says. And He has made us to be a kingdom priest to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. These saints are to lift up the light in the world. The true light. Not with expectation of enlightening the whole world, no. Not with the thought that there is little small light that shall scatter the earth's night of sin and darkness of superstition. No. Because that will be done in the kingdom. When the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His beams or His wings, these saints, brethren, hold up the light of the truth. And you know that because you had that experience. The light of the gospel. During this nighttime, we attract peculiar people, don't we? 1 Peter 2:9. We do not attract everybody, but only as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so the message to them is, respecting the love of God and the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, as it rings out into the world. It is not expected to awaken the world and lead the world to the Lord. No. These saints are merely bearing witness, a witness which will have to do also with a future knowledge and an opportunity to be granted to the world in the kingdom. These saints are instructed by the word of the Lord. We know that only a small number appreciate their light or their message. You remember what our Lord said in John 12:38? Who had believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Revelation 3:6-22. Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But the vast majority of mankind are blind, so they cannot see the light. In fact, they are stone blind. In hearing likewise, the world's ears are dull of hearing. They're deaf, say the Scriptures. They're stone deaf. These saints realize that their mission is not to these, the blind and the deaf, but to him that had an ear to hear, let him hear. Remember Brother David's testimony today? Matthew 13:16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. You know, when the disciples asked respecting this interpretation of a parable, our Lord said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Yes. These saints, at this time, during this age, you have a special favor of spiritual vision. The rest of the world does not have that. You have no idea how fortunate you are. These saints know they cannot convert the world. They will not expect many to respond to their preaching. No man can come unto me except the Father which shall draw him. And in 2 Corinthians 4:3, these saints realize, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Why? Why can't the world see and appreciate the light and to rejoice in the gospel? Verse 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What does it mean? The Word of God points out that all such are in a lost condition, without God, without hope in the world. And then verse 5 says this, these saints do not preach to themselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and to themselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. And verse 6 says this, for God who has said, light shall not shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Yes, through these saints, during this age, we are to help one another in spiritual life, in the process of developing brethren. It is a slow growth, yes. Someday it will, just like a plant bloom eternally. Therefore, we need proper nourishment, you and I. In order to continue to live, to grow, we require development. The work of growing into Christ is necessary before the child of God will be fit for the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the surpassing greatness of power may be of God and not from ourselves. And then verse 10 says this, always carrying about in a body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith according to what it is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, brethren, therefore also we speak. Another part of these holy ones at this end of the age is to care for those who see the light which she holds up, which the church holds up, these saints who are attracted by its light, who come to the Lord. These saints, you and I, we're to help, to teach, to instruct, to introduce them to a full fellowship of the high calling by making clear to them as the Lord's mouthpiece. 1 Corinthians 1:26 and also Ephesians 1:18 reads, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and work of faith with power. Why? In order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, these saints suffer now with Christ for righteousness' sake, to cultivate his spirit, his disposition to bear much fruit of the Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, brethren. But you know, 1998 is here. These saints are going to have trials. You and I will have trials. We'll have difficulties. We'll have persecutions. Why are you going to have persecutions? Because you are the kind of people that attract persecution. Right? We attract it. Because of your faith. The faith. And that's why you attract it. Remember our Lord said, you're light bearers. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. When those two things leave, you imagine the condition the world will be in. They wouldn't be very happy. But you will, because you should be with the Lord. Ephesians 4:29. I read this scripture and I applied it to myself, and it kind of shocked my body. It says, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. When you look up their word unwholesome, it says rotten. So anyway, we're going to try and improve our language in 1998. Let no rotten word proceed from your mouth, but only as such a word as is good for what? For edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And then verse 31 and 32 says this, let all bitterness, oh, if we can only do that for 1998, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, among what all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you or us. You know, some of the points that we talked about, I'd like to read a few thoughts from this, from the Bible in Colossians 3:14. It says, "And beyond all these things, brethren, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Oh, if we can only do that. 1 John 2:5. "But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know, brethren, that we are in him." And in Matthew 5:48, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." In Ephesians 4:2-4, if you read that from the Diaglot, this is what it says. "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, sustaining each other in love, using diligence to preserve the unity of the Spirit by the uniting bond of peace, there being one body, one Spirit, as also you were called, and one hope of your calling." And so, brethren, you and I want to remember that the first condition of acceptance with him is the loyal obedience to his word, the evidence of love for him and faith in him. In 2 Corinthians 10:5-6, we want to remember these words also, which is the second qualification that he will look for those who are really and truly consecrated, children of God, those who are seeking to walk in his ways. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:5-11, he says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, the church's servants, not the world's servants, no, for Jesus' sake." The last question is, what will be their work in the future? These saints, the Lord will give to the world as kings, to rule in righteousness, in love, instead of selfishness and pride as we have today. Someone brought that out in the testimony. The world is full of misery. They said on the news yesterday, predicting what are the four countries that are going to have the most problems in the world for 1998. Anyone hear that? First country was mentioned was Korea. The second country was mentioned was Iraq. The third country mentioned was Somalia and parts of Africa. They say that people will be dying up to as high as 1 million in Africa, not just from starvation, but from AIDS. You know, the world needs the kingdom desperately. Yes, your work will be kings and priests, and you're going to reign over the earth, according to Revelation 5:10. Revelation 26, which is a very common scripture you all know, "Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death had no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And you know what's nice? Our Lord's prayer will have its fulfillment, the kingdom on the earth. Remember at first when I said, remember the theme of the entire Bible, Christ, the Messiah, the resurrection, his kingdom, from Genesis to Revelation. No more will Rachel be weeping for her children. The eyes of the blind will be opened. No more stone deafness. No more stone blindness. Acts 3:21. Times of restoration will have its beginning. Isaiah 35:1-10. Will bring joy and happiness and peace of mind to the world through these saints, through these holy ones who make up the body of Christ. Psalmist David said, you remember, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We often use this scripture in funeral discourses, don't we? Zechariah 14, 6 and 7. At evening time it shall be light. That'll be fulfilled. Our Lord's wonderful promise in John 5, 28 and 29. All in their graves will hear His voice. Jeremiah 31, 34. All shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest. You saints, brethren, you holy ones of this age are going to have a great and very important role to perform in the restoration age. But you know something? It's going to be a great honor to you, wouldn't it? You'll be kings and priests. Let us remember Ephesians 4, verses 12 and 13 in our consecrated walk day by day. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you for those words of admonition, Brother Ken. Certainly goes along with our scripture there. So it's nice to hear about the love among the brethren throughout the world. At this time, we can also see why our brother chose the prospect. So we'll close with the last verse of 32. And we'll ask Brother Ken to dismiss us with a word of prayer. There will be a 15-minute break until the next session starts of the Vesper Service.
Now behold salvation's river gliding from underneath the throne, bearing its life to whomsoever will return to his Father's home. They will walk mid the trees by the rivers with the friends they have loved by their side. They will sing their glad songs of salvation and be ready to follow their guide. Oh, the prospect it is so transporting. Reapers hasten the gathering, we pray. We rejoice in the glory that's promised and the dawn of millennial day. Let us bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege Thou hast given us to meet together as Thy people, as Thy children, as one spirit, as one body. We thank Thee for Thy truth, Heavenly Father. We thank Thee for Thy Holy Spirit. And we pray, Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit be upon each and every one of us gathered here today. Continue to lead us in a path of righteousness. Keep us away from all evil, all danger. And Heavenly Father, hold us in the palm of Thy hand and help us to fulfill our covenant of sacrifice we've made with Thee. Heavenly Father, we pray for a glorious kingdom to soon come, to end this long night of woe and misery, that the world may see the dawning of a new day. Heavenly Father, forgive us wherever we've come spoken amiss. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Israel everywhere needs Thy tender care, especially those which are sick and isolated. May Thy Holy Spirit comfort them and guide them. And now we commit ourselves in the further care and keeping, asking Thy blessing upon the further sessions of this day, as we give Thee thanks and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Take this. What do you call this? This app.